The readings from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and goodness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. So through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
We're just going to look for the next 15 minutes or so, again, at that short passage we had read to us from the Bible. But firstly, I just want you to think in your head for a minute about this question. What does a Christian actually look like, do you think? What does a Christian like? Just have a think about that in your head for just a few seconds. I wonder what you came up with. Let's have the pictures. Perhaps you, I don't know if you sort of came up with the sort of Vicar of Dibley style vicar. Maybe we've got our kind of tele-evangelists down here, you know, preaching and laying on hands, preaching to huge auditoriums. Or maybe we sort of think of the more religious type of things, the nun up there. Or do you think of sort of sitting in cold churches, singing hymns full of older people? Maybe you're someone who just thinks Christianity, little bit kind of strange, you know, does it really make sense? Well, we might have all kinds of ideas about what being a Christian is all about. But what we're going to do is just look and see what the Bible says. We're going to look at these words which we had read to us, which is a short section of a letter by someone called Peter, an apostle, to a group of people who he says know God and have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Each Sunday we work through a book of the Bible, and I'm really excited that we're looking at this passage tonight. Because if you're someone who wouldn't call yourself a Christian, perhaps you'd say you're an atheist, or maybe you'd just say you're not really sure, well, this is a great insight into what being a Christian is actually all about. And of course, many here are Christians. You know Jesus, you love Jesus, you're committed to following him. Well, it's a great passage for you too, because Peter knows that he is also leaving. He's not moving to Devon. He's not starting a teaching job in Nottingham. No, he knows that he faces death, probably Roman crucifixion by the Emperor Nero. And so he's writing to these Christians to urgently remind them what it looks like living as a Christian in the world, remembering that Jesus will return. So for those of us who are Christians, then Peter's description here should describe us. So what does a Christian look like? We're going to see three things. Firstly, a Christian is growing in character. Let me read a couple of those verses again from verse 5 for us. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. This is a Christian life. A Christian isn't standing still like water in a reservoir. Christian is moving like a river, growing. And it's Christian character that's mentioned. A Christian is making... Did you spot that? Christian character. How the list begins. It begins with faith. That's a deep trust in Jesus Christ. That's where life as a Christian must begin. It never depends firstly on our good works, on our own efforts, because no amount of good works can ever be enough to get us to heaven. We need to trust the rescue that God offers. But a Christian's faith leads them on gradually, bit by bit, to exhibit the character of God. Let's look at a few of these characteristics. Knowledge. The Christian is growing in their knowledge of God. We can never fully comprehend all there is to know about God, but we can know him better through his word, the Bible. Self-control. The Christian is battling to stay in control, sober-minded. We so easily flip and say careless, hurtful words. But a Christian should try to hold their tongue. Perseverance, keeping going. Not giving up when the Christian life gets difficult. Brotherly kindness, looking out for others, especially here, other Christians. And do you spot where the list ends? Love. Living out a Christian life means growing in character and growing in love. God is love. And so loving God and loving others should be at the centre of all I do and all I am. So the Christian life is a journey, not standing still, but gradually possessing these Christ-like qualities in increasing measure. Look at verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Growing in character stops a Christian from being ineffective. God wants his people to be growing and reflecting to the world who Jesus is through our character, through our words, through our actions. When we had the girls, I'm sure many of you who are parents or relatives, you get the little red books, and the health visitor would come out and would weigh the girls when they got home from hospital out of special care, and she would weigh them each week, I think it was, and then plot the little bit on the graph. I'd always sort of check that she plotted the graph right, made sure it was going up enough, and it sort of, you know, they were below the bottom percentile for quite a long time, but as long as they were just gradually going up a little bit each time, didn't matter, as long as they weren't stagnant, as long as they weren't going down. Laura got some caterpillars for school the other day, and she ordered them. They came in the post, a little pot with some caterpillars in, and they looked absolutely pathetic. They weren't moving, they looked tiny, and Laura was convinced that they were dead, and that, you know, she was going to phone them up, say, you know, you've sent me a load of dead caterpillars in the post, there's not much I can do with this. So they sat on our shelf at home, and sort of every day Laura would look at them and just spot that actually they just gradually were looking bigger and bigger. And then she realised they weren't actually dead. They just weren't doing much. And she took them into school, and the children watched them, you know, as they make their chrysalis, and then as they flourish into a butterfly, and they're transformed. Well, a Christian life is like this too. A healthy Christian isn't stagnant, but growing, making every effort to add to their faith this Christian character that's described. Not moving away from faith, because faith in Jesus must be central, but rather living out their faith, letting it impact us and change our behaviour. So that's the first thing. A Christian is growing in character. Secondly, a Christian has received God's forgiveness. Have you ever been asked to forgive someone? It's often very difficult, isn't it? Especially if you have been wronged or hurt by someone else in some difficult way. I was listening to a phone-in on 5 Live the other day, and they were discussing whether you could ever forgive someone who's killed a member of your family. And unsurprisingly, many people said they simply could never forgive that person. And it's hard to argue with this. It would be extremely difficult, wouldn't it, to ever bring yourself to forgive someone who caused so much harm. But central to what a Christian is someone who has received forgiveness. Not from another person, but from God. A Christian is a person who has received God's forgiveness. We see that in verse 9. And if anyone does not have them, that's these Christ-like characteristics that a Christian is growing in, he is short-sighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. See what he's saying? Living a Christian life, growing in character, reminds us that we've been forgiven by God. And if we're not growing in Christian character, then we become forgetful. We'll forget that we've already received God's forgiveness. What exactly is this forgiveness? Well, the Bible's clear that from day one, God's creation has rebelled against God, living in disobedience, rejecting God's rule, living as if we are God ourselves. The Bible calls this sin. Sin's a universal problem. And it puts a barrier up between us and God, because it means we face God's judgment. God hates sin. He's angry at sin. But God loves us. He loves us so much that he came to earth as Jesus to solve the problem of sin. Jesus died on the cross, paying for our sin, taking God's judgment upon himself. So if we acknowledge our sin before God and trust that Jesus is our only hope and saviour, God loves to forgive us and welcome us into his family. That's the nature of true forgiveness. Costly, that it costs God his son. But free. Free to all who ask. As you know, we're moving house soon, and we've had to do lots of trips to the tip. We've got lots of stuff we need to get rid of. And when I was dumping some stuff out, I noticed a big sign. It said, "The end is nigh, sinners repent." And I was sort of thinking, that's a bit odd, what's that mean? And then I was sort of suddenly thinking, oh, I hope that pile of cardboard didn't have a bit of plastic inside it. And you're sort of thinking, it's like, you're being watched, perhaps. And it's like, you know, make sure you put the right things in the right places. But to repent, of course, in the Bible means to turn around. It's a turn from an old way of life, going against God, and to say sorry and to commit to following him, going his way. Do you remember Stephen Oak? He was a policeman in Manchester, who was murdered a few years back by terrorists in a routine house raid. His dad was asked in a packed press conference how he felt towards a person who'd murdered his son. He said, "I am ready to forgive." He recalls how the atmosphere suddenly exploded. The tension was electric. How could he say such a thing? Well, Peter Oak was a Christian, and he said simply that he could forgive because he knew that God had already forgiven him. That may sound pretty shocking to us, but the fact is, those of us who are Christians know that we have been forgiven so much by such a generous God. A God who willingly accepted the sacrifice of his own son because he loved us that much. The barrier our sin caused between us and God, removed. A Christian knows God's forgiveness, God's mercy, God's grace. And finally then, a Christian is looking forward to the future. Life of the Christian doesn't end when we die. And that is Peter's great motivation. That's why living life as a Christian, though it may be difficult, is well worth it. Let's look at the last sentence there. It says, "For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." The person who knows God's forgiveness is looking forward to this promised future. It's eternal, life without end. It's a rich welcome by God who wants us to be there. And it's a kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Kingdom in the Bible isn't some distant, faraway land like in fairy tales. It's the rule of a king, Jesus. So it's for all who trust Jesus and submit to him as their king. If you are a Christian, will you let this be your motivation? When life is difficult, when your friends and family turn on you for being a Christian, when you're mocked and scorned, when your Christian beliefs are called outdated, unrealistic, intolerant, will you hold on to this promised future? Will you let this motivate you now and shape the way you live? Why didn't Laura get rid of those scrawny little caterpillars? Well, because she hoped that what they eventually would become. Why are we spending hours each day packing, sorting out our stuff, packing it in boxes? It's certainly not because we enjoy it. It's not because we don't find it fun. It's a hassle. It's difficult. It's time consuming. But we're packing because we're looking ahead to Thursday when the removal men turn up and everything needs to be packed. It needs to be ready. So you see, the future impacts how we live life now. And the Bible says Christians are in a sort of in-between state. Like next week when we moved, we will stay for a few days with Laura's parents. And we'll stay there in Exeter. We'll have moved, but we'll still be looking forward to our house being ready and finally moving in. The Christian is looking forward to heaven, to a future with Jesus that is awesome, to a new world where there is no more sin, no more death, no more tears, no more pain. This is a picture of a Christian that Peter wants to leave these fellow Christians with. So if you are someone who's just looking in, perhaps not quite sure what you believe, then I hope you've seen a fair and accurate picture of a Christian. Christian is someone growing, striving to be more like Jesus in character day by day. Christian knows they've been forgiven simply because they're trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection. That's enough, that's sufficient, and the Christian is motivated by a great future, looking forward to spending eternity with Jesus. And this is on offer to all. There's no apprentice start interview you have to pass, no Claude interrogating you, digging out every past secret and every hidden fault and failure of yours. All are welcome. God wants us to turn to Jesus and put our faith and our hope fully in him. And if you are a Christian, if you're part of our church family who we've loved getting to know and being a part of these last 5 years, who we'll miss greatly, then this is my prayer for you, that every day you'll remember the forgiveness you have because of Jesus and what he's done for you. That every day you would look forward to the future God has secured for you and be excited. That this would motivate you to live out and out for Jesus, growing more like him each day. Please don't move on from Jesus. Keep growing, but keep rooted in him, with your hope placed firmly in the Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this picture of a Christian. Please help us to be people who are growing more like Jesus each day. Thank you so much for your forgiveness that is free, that is available to all who turn and trust Jesus. Please help us to know that we are forgiven people, people who are looking forward to the future you promise for all who trust Jesus. So we thank you for these great promises. Amen.